Okay, when you look at a spiritual teacher and you say this person is a tremendous meditator, they can sit on the cushion and
right.
perfect body-mind synchronization, equanimity, then they get up from the cushion and they're a jerk in one yeah. way or another, whether it's the way they handle money or the way they yeah. handle their relationships. Your explanation would be that you'd go to the idea of the lines of development?
Well, there are two. Yeah, there are two ways. First of all, we know, everybody knows it's the case. So we all know cases like this. And so we have to come up with some explanations for it. And in an integral model, there are two major ones that do stand out. And the one that you're mentioning is levels and lines. And that's, I'll mention that in just a second, because the other one we already just discussed that really, which is you can have these great state experiences at any stage. And so even somebody who's had a profound satori or two or three and can sort of talk about that and give you some understanding of that still might be at a fairly low stage of development otherwise. Levels and lines is similar to that. It's just a little bit more a precise kind of explanation. And that is that indeed we do have these one or two dozen developmental lines, like cognitive development, interpersonal development, moral development, and that you can be very highly developed in some of those lines, medium development in others, and very low development in yet others. And what seems to happen with a lot of meditative, contemplative, or spiritual teachers is that one or two lines are very, very highly developed, and they are indeed the lines that have to do with the capacity for introspection, for awareness, for cognitive capacity, and they can get into some very, very high states of consciousness. So in that capacity, they're really highly developed, really authentically highly developed. It's not to take anything away from that accomplishment. It's just perhaps their own practice or their own personality has left two or three or five other developmental lines not very well developed or possibly atrophied or possibly even pathological. And particularly in certain types of spiritual development, there's an emphasis on, let's say, meditation, personal interior development. You'll spend hours and hours introspecting the I, but not giving a lot of time to polishing your interpersonal skills or your sexual skills or your moral skills, even for that matter. The fact that you're a great meditator does not mean you're going to be a great mathematician or have great musical skills or have any of these other developmental lines. The problem comes because some of these states of consciousness are so overpowering and appear to be so all-inclusive in a certain way that it's easy for individuals to think that because I now have this experience of enlightened oneness, that therefore everything about me communicates this perfect oneness. And teachers fall into that trap all the time. And I think anybody that's had these kinds of experiences can see that tendency in themselves, because that experience of one taste is, particularly when you're tapping into the absolute truth, not just relative, but you're also getting this blast of absolute isness, then it's just impossible for that to be wrong in a certain sense. And in its formlessness, that's right. It's impossible to be wrong because there are no parts. It just is, and there it is, and you see it. That doesn't mean that therefore you excel in all these other areas. The problem comes when students come to spiritual teachers, and the spiritual teacher is trying to help the student overcome ego, which is a very important part of spiritual growth. You have to sort of grow beyond your own individuality, your self-contraction, your separate self. And what the teacher tends to do is then half of the advice they give to the student is very good, and half of it is usually a disaster. And the good part has to do indeed with the areas that the teacher's competent in and can spot self-contraction, can spot ego, and so on. But the areas the teacher's not competent in, then they start criticizing the student things that might in fact be very wise on the student's part, but can't be spotted by the teacher.
Like, for example?
Well, in anything. It can be in any sort of relation. It can be in job. It can be in work. It can be in marriage, in any sort of relation that you're in. And the teacher's telling you, no, you're doing that because you're contracting. You're being egoic. You're not taking my advice because you're resisting me. And your resistance to me, the teacher, guru, master, is evidence of your ego. Your contracted, illusory ego, when it might be evidence of your discriminating wisdom, growing and evolving. But because the teacher's not evolved in those areas, the teacher can't spot that. All the teacher can do is spot any disagreement you have with the teacher as if that's egoic contraction. When the disagreement you might have with the teacher is you're disagreeing with that part of the teacher, that is a jerk. And you should disagree with that. If teachers at least don't have some form of intricately informed awareness, then it's going to be hard for them to discriminate the areas that they are competent to make these kinds of judgments in and the areas that they're really not very competent. And that is a real nightmare for everybody. We've all had teachers like that. To the extent that any of us are teachers, we get caught in the same traps ourselves. And the only thing that we can do is continue to have this dialogue in an integrally informed context. One of the ways that has helped enormously is indeed understanding this notion of levels and lines. A lot of teachers have slowly, that I've been in discussion with, and a lot of colleagues and friends, have slowly come to see that they're very, very highly evolved in certain developmental lines, and they're just not doing that well in others. And they can't, therefore, in those areas they're not well developed in, whether it's interpersonal capacities or any form of work experience or career experience or any of these things, that they can't be telling their students that if their students are disagreeing with a teacher, it's because they are egoically corrupt. It's more that the students might be expressing their own very, very profound wisdom and discriminating intelligence, and the teacher, him or herself, just can't spot it in those circumstances. So understanding of levels and lines helps teachers get a little bit of distance from their own shtick, so to speak, from their own game.